Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
So guess what, boys? Yo, public service announcement here. K100 is coming in a disco brought to you by Get Blitzed. Get Blitz was created by Mickey Ray Sinatra from Mo Thug South, plus Courtney, the brains of the operation. The big product here, the number one seller, is their nano-infused THC syrup. You know, a lot of our listeners here like the THC, and this is a real deal THC. Not the garbage they sell in the gas stations. The stuff in the gas stations is garbage.
Yeah.
So it is super potent, like THC on steroids. It's a 5 to 15 minute onset with as little as a teaspoon. It's perfect for the weekend, for relaxing, for a party. And there's no hangover. You know what it's perfect for? Halftime of the football game. So you can take the teaspoon by itself, mix with water, soda, juice, and energy drink, whatever you want. The mix with the energy drink is fantastic, by the way. Flavors like cherry and grape are both delicious either way. Go to getblitzed.com and use the code K100 to get 15% off. That's GET-blitzed, BLITZED.com. I've been using this product. Great for watching football, gotta admit. Great for watching hockey. Great for watching TV, great for watching the soccer games in the morning, great for after the gym if you want to wind down. So if you're looking to up your game and avoid low-quality imitations with shady ingredients, check out Get Blitz now at GET-BLITZED.com and use our code K100, that's K100, to get 15% off. That ain't cheap. Order, enjoy, let us know on Twitter or K100Questions@gmail.com about your experience. That's 50% off with the code K100 at GetBlitz.com. Great product. I love the t-shirts too.
Yeah, I love the t-shirt too, the Kool-Aid guy.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, it's funny because, you know, when he first wanted us to bring Get Blitzed aboard, you know, he sent us all a sample. And I got cherry. And actually, I used it. I used the whole bottle, you know, just video games or even, you know, watching a movie like Disco said. And now I'm a paid customer. That's how much, you know, I enjoyed the experience. So, yeah, it's real chill. Like Disco said, halftime of a football game, or if you're just chilling watching a movie with your girl or with friends or whatever, it's a good time, and there is no hangover, just like we mentioned in the copy. You know, you're not going to feel like you drank the night before, or you're not going to feel woozy because you smoked too much or something. You wake up fresh as a daisy.
Well, this is what I like about it. Everything from listening to music, watching TV, football games, sports, movies, everything, and it enhances everything that I'm doing. And my 10 favorite flavors are piña colada and grape. So get blitzed, get high without, you know, feeling shaky, without getting that garbage that you get at the stores or at the gas stations. This is a real deal. We all use it. We all love it. And as we said before, we're not going to endorse anything that doesn't work. So get blitzed at getblitzed.com. Boom.
Next is from Eddie Gonzalez. Subject is Cody needs your help. Good day, young man. Insert Sarah McLachlan angel music. Take suggestions. I urge the K100 community to please donate simply $1 today for Conan to be able to buy a new headset. We see his current headset hanging by a thread. Conan's headset reminds me of the old school nerds with the broken glasses with tape holding them together. And please donate today. Your smart ass Eddie Gonzalez. Absolutely. No. Joe, you had to pay for these. And it's coming out of our cut. Have the people send the money in. Absolutely.
Yeah, pay for it. Yeah, send dollars in. And I'll distribute
them. Joe's shaking his head. We got new headsets coming, sir. We just have to download the app to use it. We couldn't get it hooked up today because we had to try.
But just so you know, what happened is, and the headset was not pretty new, this bulldog that's snoring next to me, he got a hold of it and he tore it up. Yeah. And then I just never had the time to go get one. That was just me being lazy more than anything.
And Mike Durbin,
I do have a new one.
Friend of the show, will be happy to know that we did all get Rode headsets, the top quality out there. So there you go, Mike.
So my boy Anthony Hunt. The subject is NXT question for the crew. K100, greetings, crew. Disco, can't believe Eagles coach Sirianni got so bad. Guess we're one and done. Conan, have you seen – well, what does OTM mean?
I don't know, but I know who they are. It's like a tag team.
That is a tag team? OTM?
I believe so.
Yes.
Have you seen OTM? All they do is kick ass, get money. Also, Obafemi, a Nigerian prince, is a beast in the breakout tournament. Give them a look. Do they have main roster potential? In closing, Disco, do you think Roman can catch San Martino 2099 days as champ? Sincerely, Anthony Hunt. Anthony, do I think Roman can catch him?
No.
I think yes, he can if they book Roman to catch him.
Bro. That's right, like right. How many years is that?
Like 4 more years, isn't there something like that? No, more than that. 365. It's like 9 years almost, or 8 and a half.
That's not happening.
Right.
Yeah. Back then, it happened a lot, and because that was how they did it back then. You know what I'm saying? Let me just say one thing about these two guys. I've seen OTM. They look kind of green to me, but they got a good look. And the Oba is that Nigerian guy that just destroyed Dragon Lee, but I think he's also green.
Yeah, I haven't seen these. I'll watch it tonight at work because tonight's a good viewing night for me. I've actually watched SmackDown Raw already. It does look pretty good.
Yeah. It's muted. Yeah, you can go ahead. I'm not going to play this.
Okay, song. Next is from Andrew Lee, subject is Hook. Hey, K100, you guys probably answered multiple questions about Tony Khan's tweets, but I'm looking over Tony Khan's tweet about Hook basically having 29 matches his whole career since 2021. I thought these were just televised matches he was mentioning, but according to this random website, this also included their house show results. I know the protecting guy, but do you guys think it's a bit overprotecting? Even Goldberg had more matches between 1997 and 1998. It's being exaggerated around 173 according to Wikipedia. I mean, I get it. If you can get over without having to wrestle a lot, more power to them. But at the same time, can you really fix it? Bro, every time we talk about the records, I couldn't give rat's ass. They're meaningless. It's goofy that they invested in this to begin with. And now they're acting like the records mean something when they don't mean anything because these guys are having, you know, open challenges and guys are coming out that are 35 and 47 and challenging.
Ridiculous, you know? I don't usually say I told you so, okay? But there's two things that we were on point. You and I, Disco, since the very beginning, and it's come to fruition. We said the records thing was completely ridiculous, okay, right, and nonsensical, and it is. I don't see anybody putting it over except Tony, and I think it's like, okay, it's my idea, so I'm not going to let it go. Let it go, bro. And we also said at the beginning, and we got heavily criticized, you know, AW's doing this and this and this and this wrong. And now a lot of people are starting to see what we said from the very beginning.
Yeah. So the distorted noise, and the subject is Disco is proven right again. On a long enough timeline, Disco is almost always right in hindsight when it comes to criticism of modern wrestling, despite all the seething hatred and backlash he receives from the IWC when he initially makes said statements. This seems to be reoccurring a very noticeable pattern for as long as I've been following K100. Disco will sometimes make harsh but true criticisms, which initially vilify him in the community, only for enough time to pass for him to be eventually proven right. Yet he's never fully forgiven by the same mindless mob, internet mob, who condemned him in the first place. The latest example of this phenomenon happened just recently. If you recall, Disco replied to a Tony Khan tweet saying the AEW shows need a reset. Tony, of course, sidestepped Disco's comment, decided instead to take a cheap shot at him, which predictably riled up the IWC. Anyways, fast forward to recently, and Jim Ross had the following to say on episode 247 of his Grilling JR podcast. Quote, "It's interesting. It seems like AEW is kind of resetting the table, restarting, so to speak, maybe, and I think that's smart. I think that's a good deal. Give everybody a different jersey, give everybody a different role. Let's just hope they all live up to the hype and role, and it seems like we are. It's exciting to be a part of it, and I'm happy to be part of it," Ross said. My question is, how did wrestling fan culture get to this point? Why are wrestling veterans who put the time in and have worked for several different company roles considered out of touch and largely brushed aside by the fans? But the same people lap up the opinions of Mark podcasters and our dirt sheet guys who have never taken a bump or been directly in the business. I must be in the minority because the whole dynamic has always seemed super backwards to me. Sidebar, someone clever should come up with a term for Disco prophecies coming true. Thanks for the endless entertainment. Joe, come up with a term for that. My prophecies becoming true. Coming true. I'm going to make a point. I think it's evidently true. I think that this wrestling community and fan base, I think they're out of touch. I don't think I'm out of touch at all. I don't think Conan's. I don't think we're out of touch. I think we still see things that can be done in professional wrestling that would engage more fans. But these people are so out of touch with the fan base that's still out there that exists that would watch a show if they were putting on different content that they continue to basically ignore that fan base. And I think that makes them out of touch to how to draw a wrestling crowd. I can still draw a wrestling crowd. When I went back in Impact Wrestling, Joe, when I went to the ECW arena, who's had the most heat in the ECW arena from your history of all the shows you've been there? Where did I rank?
Post ECW days, anything else that's been there? You? Shit.
So think about that.
Jeff Jarrett with TNA. Okay. And Road Dogg that night too, yeah.
So think about this. People think I'm out of touch, but literally years and years and years later, when I've had the opportunity to perform, I performed at a higher level than all this community that thinks that I'm out of touch. So it's like, you know, I'm obviously not out of touch because I keep, like, we keep talking about things on this show. Me and Conan is like, bro, a lot of the stuff that we say ends up coming true. You know, there's something about, like, the thing that the wrestling community, this wrestling community, that ever since the wrestlers, like these new cats, have kind of fed into I think, like, the guys like me and Conan that grew up being trained in an old school culture, okay, and that these new cats in professional wrestling have kind of been kind of like from the smart mark community, not really ingrained in the old school culture, professional wrestling and kayfabe and the basic principles that they grew up, like this new style of, you know, match quality is so important, it's different thing. You know, it's created like two completely different, like it's a polarizing view of professional wrestling, the old school versus the new school. And I would profess that the new school is the ones that are out of touch, not the old school guys, because a lot of the new school cats look at guys like us, like the old school people that came from the culture that you know, the history of professional wrestling that the principles are built on, they don't really look at us like we know what we're talking about. And I think that kind of makes these guys out of touch. Because I wouldn't, like, you know, I wouldn't, you know, like, you see, like, a lot of these new, like, in the NFL players, okay? A guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, right? bro, what was the guy doing? You know, he comes in the league, he's doing TikTok videos, he's dancing around and stuff. And like, where's the guy now? It's like 3-4 years later, he's kind of just like persona non grata. Like, he was like a flash in the pan, but like, but when he was doing all that shit, he was popular. But the old school cats were sitting there saying, what the F are you doing out here, dude? It's like, you're here to play football, not dance around and stuff and all that. And look at where the guy is. What do you think about that, Cody? The example I just talked about.
Well, I think out of everything you said, you're out of touch. That would be the first thing I would say. And I just think, bro, like, what this guy's talking about, you know, like they don't want to listen to older cats. I think a lot of young people think because you're older, you're not as lucid or in tune to what's happening. And that's quite the opposite. Everybody isn't the same. Some are more in tune than others. But what's baffling to me is the guys that actually did it, you don't want to listen to them, but you'll listen to Marks just because they're your age, you know, right. And they don't know what the fuck's going on. And I've always said it, one of life's biggest tragedies, we get old too soon and wise too late, you know. And the good thing about getting older, bro, is like, it allows you to be the person that you've always wanted to be. By that, I mean this. When you're younger, you're always trying to like front and show off and, you know, have this facade. And then when you get older, you're more comfortable with yourself and you can really be yourself, you know.
Do you think, do you consider yourself out of touch?
Yes.
Okay. I do too. Right.
Yes.
I just think that no matter what, no matter how many shows you've been to or how much you've watched, or even if you went back, and I've watched every show since 76, you know, and stuff like that. If you haven't been in the ring, in the back, or in a booking meeting or creative, then you can't understand as much as guys like Conan and Disco. And that's, everyone's going to go ass kissing, but it's just the truth. I know that as a fan and have been around a little tiny bit, how much I don't know, you know?
All right. You could look at both of these Mark podcasters, and if you like a perfect example, this guy said, there's like a lot of things that I say that I get vilified for that we go back in time and look, it's like, yeah, Disco was right. The exact opposite is like true for the Mark podcaster stuff. They're literally like saying like, how many times have these people said, this guy's going to be a star, this girl's going to be, this is the next star, you know, all this stuff and everything. And like, you know, they're literally, their whole shtick is, could be summed up as like, things I wish I could take back. Is about the best way you describe things they say on a weekly basis on these shows. You know what I'm saying? So
my favorite, you know, thing I ever got wrong, D.I., was I was watching pretty regularly back then. It wasn't that long ago. And Adam Rose was coming up from NXT, and he came out dancing with the whole parade of freaks behind him. Right. I swore that would be huge, and the whole crowd would dance and love it. And, dude, it lasted like 2 weeks. I was like, ooh, yeah, wasn't right there.
But me and Conan, when we were watching that and everything, I was saying, like, dude, these people aren't acting like partiers. They're acting like idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no cool or shit. No. Yeah, they're just out there going, wee, yeah. Like, you know, like, nobody goes to parties like that. Like, you go to a party, you like got, like in a club. If you want to do the club thing, bro, you got people like chill. Like when they did the vignette with Escobar and the two cats, when they'd be sitting in the lounge, like having a drink. That's how you produce like a clubber. You know, people chilling, you know, with cotton.
No, well, let me tell you, I'm going to give you a better example.
Go ahead.
I got to give you a better example of a clubber. What are those two girls named? Caden and Cassandra?
Yeah, I don't even know what their names are, right? Yeah.
And when they brought Damian Priest into NXT, they portrayed him as like a club guy.
That was cool. That was fucking cool.
He'd be in a hot tub with champagne with girls.
Right.
I was like, right, that's how you do it.
That's what clubbing is today, not acting like a fucking dork. Like,
they'd be jumping around.
Right. Like Oscar used to act, remember?
Right. You know what it was like? It was like he dressed up, like he told all the dirt sheet guys, hey, dress up and you go about and be part of Adam Rose's group. You're a part of your party gang. And that's how they would act, right?
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a click away. Order online and pick up at your local store. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Well, you know what, boys? It's the new year, and you know you should be back into the swing of things with your health and fitness routine. Hopefully that means you're using world-class nutritional supplements from Legacy Sports Nutrition. Whether it's bestsellers like TestX9 Testosterone Booster, Recovery PM Sleep Optimizer, or the delicious Salted Caramel Whey Protein, you can be sure you're using elite-level products. Now, this show, K100, is the most used discount code ever at LegacySubs.com, and we can't thank you enough for the loyalty to both Legacy and this show. Using that code supports our show and legacy, which, as you know, is brought to you by Nick on Probation Aldis and Mickey James. Legacy wants to reward you, our K100 family. So every customer that uses code K100, that's K100, at legacySupps.com through the end of February, will receive a free water-resistant Bluetooth speaker while stocks last. That's awesome. So level up your performance, well-being, and mind with LegacySubs.com. And don't forget to use the code K100 at checkout. And we're giving you a Bluetooth speaker for being a loyal members of LegacySubs.com.
Free speaker, huh? Ooh.
What do you use, Joe?
Yeah, I definitely use the Recovery PM every night. I sleep way deeper. You wind up having these vivid type dreams. You're out like a light and you wake up and there's no fogginess. Or like if you use like some other sleep aid, sometimes you wake up foggy. But not with Recovery PM.
I've been using the desiccated liver pills.
And, cool.
They've been great. I feel great.
They're the reason we've been with them for 2 years.
Maybe three even at this point.
3 years. The fact that we have the most what?
With the most buys with our referral code, we beat everybody else, yeah.
All right. So this works. They have a whole array of supplements. Go check it out. You know, get your supplements at Legacy Subs. Boom.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
This is from Human Shield and the subject's Triple H, Aaron Conan. Hi guys, love the show. I don't generally write in, but something Conan recently said sparked my interest. In a clip about Shinsuke Nakamura, you discuss how much better he's been presented lately. Conan took a shot at WWE and said it only took them 7 years to figure it out. My question is that fair? You're correct in a literal sense. However, you left out the context of Vince versus Triple H. Vince could never figure Nakamura out, and Triple H could. And if you look at a lot of guys, Drew McIntyre, Jey Uso, LA Knight, and Nakamura, it appears Triple H is just a lot better in general. Am I wrong? I will say this, okay? If you notice this, since Vince has been gone, Nakamura is doing much better things than they're subtitled. The Japanese girls are not acting like spazzes anymore. Have you noticed that, Conan? Like yeah. Asuka, they're not acting like spazzes. I honestly think that Vince being so like old school, like Vince kind of being out of touch, like thought that Japanese wrestlers should be like, oh, just act like right. idiot, which is what right. he like. I think Vince was like entertained.
That's funny to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Watching Nakamura bomb on the mic because he can't speak English that well. Because like, right. you know, like, he probably thought that was funny. And like that got his jollies. But now the characters are presented much better. Right. You know,
but I also got to give him credit. You can tell Vince hasn't lost it because number one, when he went there, signed Cody, he showed up. Didn't he fly to Cody's house or something like that?
That's what I heard.
But yeah.
Okay. Number two, what we just heard from Mansoor and Massey that, you know, he loved them, which we can understand. Right. And right. he even said, wow, LA Knight has a great look. Like, you know, he still right. has this sense about him, you know?
Right.
He just stopped because of his age. He couldn't be in the ring, you know?
Right.
But, you know, he still has his wits about him. But I will say you do have a point. You know, Vince probably didn't like him. But I've always said this. If you don't like somebody, then why do you have him around so long? You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I've put some JG in the subject of the evil EVP's butt gimmick. Hey, K100, hope all is well. You guys suspended me. Now I know the rules. The 10K dog commandments over here. LOL. Anyways, the evil EVP's young buck skin, it would be great if they did that gimmick if Punk was still around. What good is it now? Kind of a low-key weak move, if you ask me, and that's JG from New Jersey. No, I actually like it because the point that they made in that promo was kind of like they have a bunch of these like old has-beens on the show, and they don't really need to be here. So they got a lot of guys they can work with that gimmick. You know, like Jericho, like all the you know, Edge, Chris, like they can work all those top guys because, bro, like, you know, I'm sorry, but the last 3 weeks of Edge's TV, it's like, dude, what are you doing? It's like, this was a good get from, like, WWE, the big star stuff. Last 2 weeks ago, he was in an eight-man
random thing. You know, it seems like when you see him, you know yeah. that, you ever see that major league, that minor league baseball team that three players called the Bananas or some shit?
Right. Yeah, right.
What feels like he was playing with the
you know, with the LA Dodgers and now in the banana Adam Beattie. Yeah.
Last week he wrestled Lee Moriarty.
Yeah, for the smart fans. Yeah.
Oh, right.
You get a pop from them again. Good. Good.
Yeah.
You got a pop from them. How about the casual fan who has no idea who the fuck Suzuki is?
Right. And I've seen him win. And let's face the fact, the guy looks like an old man out there. Like, if your channel is like, well, what is going on here, you know?
Let me just say this. Finally, they found something creative for the Young Bucks, because they were really wallowing in mediocrity. They weren't doing anything good. They weren't interesting at all. And they could come back and fuck, like you said, the Jericho. They could. I don't think they'd do this, but you'd get a lot of heat if you fucked with Eddie Kingston and body shamed them, you know, public TV or one of the girls. That's heat. But these snowflakes wouldn't do it. But I, you know what I'm saying? I would. And, you know, they could fuck with Kenny Omega. How do we know you have diverticulitis? We need a doctor report. You know, it's not there. Just fuck with people like that. Get heat. The butt after the butter to get heat. You know, I like what they're doing.
I do too. So next is from Mark Lupo. What if Tony kind of admitted side about money? Hello, Keeping with Hunter. I'm a big fan of the podcast. I think you guys have great perspective and uniquely qualified to do so. My question is, could Tony Khan disarm all of his critics if he publicly stated he was not in the wrestling business to make money? It'd be terrible for his business in terms of advertising, television rights fees, etc. But he has the money where that wouldn't really matter. If Tony founded the AEW streaming network and became his own distributor, would publicly renouncing profits be good or bad for AEW's persona in the wrestling industry? Thanks. Thank you all very much, and keep up the great work. Sincerely, that's from Mark Lupo. He can't admit it. He's not in this to make money, because you're absolutely right. Because then. People he's doing business with, they're going to shortchange him on everything because they're going to anybody that he does business with is going to rake the guy over the coals.
Right.
You know, so you can't publicly say that because then you're, you know, that's
bro. He would be,
yeah,
if he'd be ridiculed and dragged now, it would be even worse. I admit this is just like a hobby. Who would really want to work for the guy, you know?
Right.
And yeah, they take the money because it's good, but yeah, that's not a good, you know, that's not a good look.
It's like collecting beer cans. You could quit that hobby, the snap in the finger. It's not a hobby anymore. You know, it's right? Didn't everybody choose how beer can collecting just like flatlined them immediately? Did you used to collect beer cans, Joe?
No, but I remember.
Did you beer cans back in the day, remember?
No.
Oh, beer can collecting was a thing. Like a fad back in the day.
I could see that being a thing in Marietta, Georgia. That's not a thing in Miami, Florida.
You see it in frat houses. They'll have them lined up like on the walls and shit.
Yeah.
There was a market for that. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's just like, boop, it just, you know, the beer cans were worth something. They were famous old from all over the world. You collected beer cans, you know? So next is a Robert Bailey Jr. And the subject is question suspense lack. Arriba la raza, K100 fan. Greater good matches are never a problem with AEW seemingly. It's the expectation that you'll get at least two 15 to 20 minute matches on AEW Dynamite and Collision. However, it is my belief that the outcomes are rarely in question. In some cases, we have to endure a 15-minute match that should have lasted no more than 6 or 7 minutes. These long matches with the dearth of consequence, build-up, and suspense feel lead to lack of interest in overall product. Is it the long matches thrown together with no build-up on top of the lack of compelling storytelling, or is it just lack of suspenseful conclusions to marquee matchups that is hurting the AEW's product? What do you guys think? That's warm regards. Robert Bailey Jr. Robert Bailey Jr., I appreciate you being a fan of the show. Okay, but you're just repeating verbatim things that I've said on the show. So this is plagiarism.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to give him a yellow card for plagiarism. I was like, this is almost verbatim what I talked about. That, I mean, you talk about the matches are fine, but they're too long. You know, they go a few minutes too long. Like, you know, and that's yes, absolutely. They can and they lack storytelling and character development. If you chopped off 8 to 10 minutes of matches and use that for like 2 to 3 vignettes of character development for some of the characters, you'd go a longer way in having compelling television, I would say. And I think you agree too.
Yes.
Next is the John Rods. Subject is surprising return. K100. Everyone was surprised and thought it was hell freezing over to have CM Punk return. Who would be the next biggest surprise return be? Perhaps one of the below names or someone else. Okay, here's the five names. Tammy Sitch. Well, that ain't going to happen. Teddy Hart, Jim Cornette, Vince Russo, or Tessa Blanchard. Thanks, K100 fan. Who would be the most, the biggest surprise return out of those four? Because Sammy Sitch is not going to return. She's going to jail for like 16 years.
How long?
Like 16 years, I saw.
Is it that long?
I think so. Look that up, Joe.
Tammy is, I think you were right about 16, but let's see.
Yeah, unbelievable. Bro, she's had a million, She's had him. She had DUI after DUI.
I think she hit somebody.
And then she hit somebody.
Seventeen and a half years.
Well, who needs to bigger the price for you? They just gave me those names. And you, Joe.
Well, Cornette for sure. Russo, for sure.
Russo?
What? He's got a very small when we get back in the business. So we're very very tiny right. needle thread, you know?
Cornette already did a Hall of Fame thing a few years ago. So, yeah, but I was not even, the yeah. biggest. The biggest surprise, I'd say Teddy out of anybody there.
Well, he's a good.
Well, Teddy was never really there, so I don't think he would be a big surprise.
Right. Yeah.
Well, he did. He was there in developmental in '99, 2000
Yeah,
and again,
that's 20 years ago, Joe.
And NXT in 2008. So yeah, but
hey, okay, this is Johnny Cash. Subject is NBA. Hey, fellas, you guys have been criticized AEW for not growing their audience. What about the NWA? Since 2020, the ratings have fallen completely flat. The league notice enshrined the in-season tournament gimmick, which increased the ratings only slightly. But on Christmas Day, the association had a historically bad performance. They averaged 3 million viewers per game, while the NFL on the same day averaged 30. Adam Silver blamed streaming on the declining ratings. While Warner Bros. Discovery started streaming games through Max, it doesn't appear that numbers are very good either. The NBA's TV deals runs up next year, and they're asking for 3 times the current deal to help pay for the huge rise in players' contracts. With the declining numbers and poor financial situation via ESPN, it does not look like they could get anything close to that. Sports Business Insider say that Mark Cuban selling the Mavericks is a harbinger of things to come. Critics said the NBA has done this to itself by going woke and focusing on foreign markets instead of the U.S. They've lost their way. But some of the super teams, the title players, load management, lack of defense. The product is not what it used to be. What do you guys think of this? How would you fix the NBA? Okay, I want to give you these four. The super teams and title players, load management, lack of defense. I'm not going to say the lack of defense, but the super teams and title players and load management 100% affect the thing, because half the times when these good teams supposedly play each other, half the stars are sitting out. People want to see stars. And plus, too, let me read you this, Coleman. This is, you know, the Suns are supposed to be a super team. The Lakers are supposed to be a super team. You know, like, all these teams that were like, I have all these marquee stud players that are supposed to be big draws, right? So in the standings right now, okay, the Celtics are still the best team in basketball by every metric. They're like top, like in offensive and defensive categories, they're like top three in offensive, defensive, each in all the categories, right? So they're great. But the Sixers are kind of like a brand. But bro, the Suns.
Well, the City does not have the best player in the NBA, Joel Embiid.
Right.
He ain't like an MVP season.
He's a star. But the Lakers and the Warriors are supposed to be marquee teams.
And they're not.
Well, the Lakers are in ninth place. The Warriors are in 12th place.
Right.
I mean, the Suns just went on a run recently. They won 6 in a row, but they were in ninth or 10th place. So the teams with all the stars, like all the marquee superstar teams, suck.
Well, it showed. Let me tell you, because I was talking to a LA Dodger fan when I was crossing the border the other day. And, bro, it's the same thing in baseball. Look at all the players the Padres had. They didn't even make the playoffs. The Mets had. They did make the playoffs. It doesn't guarantee success. Is what I'm saying.
If only one guarantees is indifference from fans. They don't watch. They don't watch the game.
Plus, let me tell you another thing. Because I adore the NBA. I love the NBA. That's so, you know, can go back to our era, Michael Jordan, right? You had that incredible player, and you know they were going against the bad boys, Detroit Pistons and New York Knicks, and you know then you went to Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe and. You know, the Lake Show, and then Duncan and Parker and Ginobili with Greg Popovich. That was a great team. You know what I'm saying? Then LeBron came in. He went to South Beach, you know, with, who was it? The Dwayne and Bosch, remember?
Yes.
Yes. Then even for a little while, when Dirk Nowitzki led the Mavericks and kind of upset Miami, that was a big thing. There hasn't really been, and then you had, of course, those great Golden State teams, right? You haven't really had anything since then like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the other problem is that the NBA gives too much guaranteed max money, right?
And right.
That's the problem, because people get lazy. And if you look at the NFL, they do a really good job, because almost no contract is fully guaranteed. You know what I'm saying? Where basketball it is. If guys don't perform in the NFL, they get cut. You know that, Disco.
Right.
You know, here they got all this fucking guaranteed money, and they start, you know, a lot of guys get lazy.
Right.
That's a big problem. But, bro, let me tell you this. I was watching Parting the Interrupted the other day. They were talking about the NBA. Look this up, BD.
Yeah.
They made $10 billion last year. The only, and I was very surprised when I read this or when I heard this, the only franchise that had lost money last year, I believe, was the Brooklyn Nets, which is very hard to believe in. You know, back to New York is the mecca of basketball, and that Benny Barclays and all their fucking merchandise, like these Nets and shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, that was the only franchise that lost money. Like, they're making money, and they're a global thing. Isn't it just, look at all the players, half of them, you know, Luka Doncic. I mean, so many foreigners are coming to the NBA today. They've done a good job of globalizing, way better than the NFL, than globalizing their product, much like baseball. They made $10 billion a year last year, or the year before. Yeah, Joe.
The Nets and Barclays Center lost between $50 and $100 million.
Right. And one of the problems is they have too many games. Too many of them are uninteresting. Don't be so greedy and cut back on games. There's a lot of games that don't mean shit.
Yeah. All right. Next one.
Do you agree with any of that, Discord? Disagree with any of that?
No. It's like, fan, it's like, the thing is, it's like the Mets.
Right, so you're really interested in that all-in tournament?
No, not at all.
Right.
Not at all.
Right.
I'm interested when the star players play each other in the playoffs, because they're usually the best teams in the league and stuff and everything. That's,
I was looking at a mock draft for the NBA, upcoming NBA draft, and like
right.
8 out of the 10 guys were foreigners.
Right.
That's a good job when you have a global footprint. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you get the NBA, this guy, what's his name?
Johnny Castro.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Johnny, I disagree. And maybe the Christmas rating went up. There weren't that many interesting games because I watched all of them.
All right. Next listen, James Johnson, subject New Japan's long-term future. Hey, guys, big fan of the show. My question is, what do you guys think the long-term future for New Japan is? Tony Khan systematically rated the roster talent now. Seems like a lot of the top guys there are aging. Is there any young up-and-coming talent there that New Japan is telling Tony that they're off limits? Is that the reason to rely more on gaijins in the company as regulars, members of the roster than ever before? Thanks, James. James, so what makes you think that we have, from listening to the show, that we have any interest in New Japan wrestling? I have no idea this question because I don't care, to be honest.
We don't. Okay, well, this is what I will say. I won't follow New Japan wrestling because I don't have time. And if somebody is listening, could get me, because before I used to actually, wrestling, get a guy to send tapes of New Japan and I was following it. But if somebody condensed versions of New Japan shows, I'd watch it because I like New Japan. And bro, there's a plethora of talent out there. And, you know, people will leave, people will come in, you'll cultivate them, you'll groom them, you make a big start, and somebody will take them if you don't pay up and up. That's just the way of the world right now. WWE and AEW is going to outbid you. And if you're going to outbid AAA, Impact, any other company out there. So anybody that you cultivate and groom will be taken away sooner or later.